setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation that you don't hear much of on talk radio unless you're listening to The Ken Coleman Show. It's a conversation about who you really are, what you were created to do, where you want to, where you can do it, and then how do you get there. We're talking about the journey to meaningful work. You know, whoever's listening today, some of you have no idea what you want to do with your life. Some of you know what you want to do with your life, but you don't know how to get there. Some of you know what you want to do with your life, and you know how to get there, but you're stuck. Fear, doubt, pride maybe holding you back. Some of you are already on the path. You're moving up, and you just want to move up higher. You're ready for some acceleration. Some of you've got some choices, some A, B, C choices. Some of you have a spouse that's miserable in their work. Whatever your story is, that's what we're discussing. A caller-driven show to help you be the best version of you. And we're looking at the work side of things, although there's some relationship components to this. There's some personal growth things you got to do. There's some money elements here, and I can help you there too. But we are all created to contribute. And when we don't experience that in our work life, it affects us in every area of our life, our money, our relationships, our mental health. And so it's a big part of who we are because we were created to work. That's what we believe. We don't think of work as this thing we do to live. No, our work is the way we can contribute results to our world. So that's what we do. That's why we do it. Shall we do it? 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Washington State, where Jamie is on the line. Jamie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I felt like you were just talking directly to me right there.
Well, I was. That's what's kind of fun about it. You know, there's a whole lot of Jamies out there because I've been there. So what's going on? How do I help you?
Well, it's a little convoluted, but long story short, I'm calling today to see if you can help me decide whether or not I should go to law school.
Okay.
So the background is my husband's a stay-at-home dad with our three kids. And I work anywhere from 60 to 90 hours a week as a nurse to support my family financially. And I also, in my side time, do a nursing podcast. My end goal is ultimately to work for myself in some sort of capacity. I have a background in marketing, and I worked in marketing for 10 years prior to going into nursing. And I've been doing nursing for 10 years now as well. I feel like I've maxed out my growth potential in this field, and I'm looking to pursue more. I've always loved law, theory of law, and all of the debates that it brings. I've thought about combining it by going into legal nurse consulting, which gives me the independent self-employment aspect, but it's really hard to get into legal nurse consulting and grow the business with the hours that I'm working right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like law permeates every area of healthcare, and I feel like a law degree on top of my business and nursing could really launch me into some extraordinary careers. And I also love doing my podcast. It's a huge passion of mine, but it's really not monetized yet. And I think if I devoted more time to that, I could grow it faster. But again, it's super hard with the hours I'm working. So I feel kind of scattered and all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure which way to head.
Okay. No, this is great information. You did a great job telling me where you stand. A lot of stuff I want to cover, so let's get to it quickly.
Okay.
The 60 to 90 hours a week is going to have to stop.
Yeah.
So that means we've got a money issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we need the money so that we can figure out, you know, and fund whatever we're going to do. So I want to tackle this one first because I don't think it's up for discussion. At some point, you and your husband need to sit down and have a real meeting about you having to work 60 to 90 hours a week to support you. While I'm sure you guys think it's great that he's the stay-at-home dad, and I'm not against stay-at-home dad. That's not what I'm saying. I want you to hear me. Is mm-hmm. that you guys need to come up with a different child care solution, because I think if you look at child care and both of you working, especially you as a nurse, maybe you're doing 50 hours a week or whatever. I just think we got to figure that out, because you are going to crash.
Yeah.
You know it and I know it. You're a healthcare professional, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
You're a nurse. You know more about this than I do. You can't keep this up. So there's the mm-hmm. physical and emotional toil that you will crash. And then the second issue is that you love this nursing podcast. I'm just curious, what are you doing on this podcast? What's the messaging? What are you delivering to people?
We discuss problems in healthcare that are kind of taboo in the actual nursing environment.
See, that's what I'm intrigued by. You've got this mm-hmm. labor of love that you've been doing. And mm-hmm. you mention it in the midst of all these options and all this stuff swirling around. You came back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm not sure that the law school is necessarily the way to go. But I'm not saying it isn't either. I'm just saying that mm-hmm. those issues you discuss on that nursing podcast, and when you said legal nurse consult, do you have to be a lawyer to do that kind of work?
No, you don't have to be a lawyer to be a legal nurse consultant.
Oh, good.
But that's kind of my personality, is just to go big or go home.
Yeah, but hold on a second. You can't right now.
Yeah.
You don't have the time, nor do you have the money for law school.
Okay.
So let me tell you how to get around this. You gave me a big kind of a Lazy Susan roundtable thing. I'm going to cover it all. Okay?
Okay, great.
The fact that you can do legal nurse consulting without a law degree is huge, because the legal mm-hmm. nurse consulting is closer and closer to your true passion, I think, which is a combination mm-hmm. of healthcare and justice.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
I mean, you're doing a podcast on basically justice and healthcare.
Right, yes.
Okay. So I want to make sure you see what I'm seeing. So mm-hmm. how would you be able to do that? Well, you got to lower your hours. You would have to kind of mm-hmm. begin to tiptoe into that. So mm-hmm. that means Hubs has got to go to work.
Okay.
And
I'll have him listen in.
Yeah, he does. He needs to listen in. Have him call me. I'll get him. Yeah. I'll get him on the right path. We'll get him a great job. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing. Okay. Law school is going to take a lot of time and money, mm-hmm. and you don't actually need it. Now, if you really say, okay, Ken, I agree, but I want it, then I want you to do the research on what I'm about to tell you, because it's true. There are law schools all over the country who aren't big name law schools, but they can get you the law degree that you need, and nobody gives a crud where your law degree is from. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes, I've actually met with some of the local ones.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Working for like scholarships and stuff like that.
Yeah, but beyond scholarships, go do your homework on this. There are certain LSAT scores that once you get there, you can get a full ride. So you're the type of person who is just an amazing machine of a woman, and you can go study while you're doing these other transitional changes, and you can go to law school for free. But right now, that's not an option. You don't have the time, and I'm not sure you need it. I want to see you going towards this legal nurse consulting. Tell the Hubs to get to work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the three modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. The Ken Coleman Show continues, a show about what you were created to do, a show about what you must do. That's right, we look at work as not this utilitarian function that pays the bills. but as an opportunity to make a unique contribution to the world. Think of it as a blank landscape, painting, a blank canvas, and you get to paint your life, your contribution that you want to see in the world. That's really what this is, and that's what we talk about. So we talk about all aspects of it. Early stage, trying to figure out what it is, getting ideas to how do I get qualified, how do I make the right connections to get there, where should I start, when should I start, how do I get promoted, what could I do to be better and get better, how do I make more money? We're discussing all of it. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Eric in Las Vegas, Nevada. Eric, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Eric, I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
I heard you on the Dave Ramsey podcast a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I hadn't heard of your show, and I started listening to it. It's pretty cool stuff. But my question for you is, I've been doing what I've been doing for about 15 years. I started as a freshman in college, and I really don't have a lot of complaints as far as, you know, part of a great company, great team, great, kind of settings. Office is fun. Fortunately, even during the COVID, we've done pretty well. It's just kind of doing something as long as you've been doing it, kind of getting burnt out, a little kind of to maybe approach it differently. I mean, I've gone through thinking about moving or changing careers or that kind of thing. And you just kind of come back and you look at your job and you're like, no, things are pretty good, but it just, I don't know, just mentally and emotionally not being in it anymore. So my question for you is if you've ever had any experience or advice on how to kind of reassess, you know, whether you should make a switch or just kind of reapproach what you currently do.
Might be both, might be one or the other, but you're not burned out. You're bored.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is. So really the first thing is we figure out what's the source of the symptom. It's like going to the doctor and going, my shoulder hurts. And the doctor goes, did you injure it? You go, I don't think so. I don't know. Where's it hurt? Kind of in this area. So he starts messing around with the shoulder until we get to the source of the pain. I think you're dealing with boredom because you've got all these other things you like about the company. You like the job. You like the company, you like the environment. I'm even wondering if there was a season where you really did love the work and the job. Was there?
I'm a commercial real estate broker, and I do. I mean, really the main thing I like is having people who like put everything on the line to start a business or expand or that kind of thing. Just seeing the excitement those kind of people have. That's really the driving force. It's really the part I enjoy about it. So, but I did kind of just fall into it. It was one of those things where a door opened, I went through it. So it wasn't like something I went out looking
for. Okay. Well then what we need to do is I know you're new to the show, but what I teach is that everybody, including you, was created to fill a role in the workplace. Okay. So as you'll notice, I didn't say job career because I think there's multiple jobs, multiple career paths. And I even think multiple dream jobs, because I think once you land one dream job, I'm in my dream job and I'm not changing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here till I'm an old man and I start babbling on the air and then they kick me off. But I'm expanding my dream. I'm expanding. I got a big vision to help as many Erics as I can around the globe. So you're bored. So we've got two issues going on. Do you know what you would love to do if you couldn't fail? And you just said, I don't even have to do it for money. It's a grand adventure. I would try this tomorrow. If you don't, we need to figure that out by looking at your sweet spot, what you do best, talent, the work you love to do, passion, and the results that you get fired up to see that you want to produce. And so that's the big question, because right now you haven't been challenged in a long time, and that is what's going on. You need a new challenge. So what do you want to do? What have you wondered about? Because I know a guy like you calls me with what you just said. You got ideas all the time. You're thinking all the time, aren't you?
Everybody jumps to things like I travel like a ton, which is fun. I mean, it's a fun hobby. Every time you get to a new area, that's why.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about work, man, that the world needs from Eric. Traveling's a hobby.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm a political nut. It's like my Super Bowl is, I'm pretty involved in that in town. I actually ran for office earlier in the year. Didn't go my way, but
good for you. What would you do? What would you do tomorrow? Let's stop talking and let's start getting serious. What would you do tomorrow if you knew you could not fail, but you also did not have to commit to it for the rest of your life? It was just a fun work adventure. Let's go for this and give it everything I got. What would you do?
I genuinely don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
I don't believe that. But let's come at this another way. I think you do have an answer, but you're afraid to say it. Because I think you've got answers popping around in your head and you're going, I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because of this. Is that true or false?
No, that's 100% true.
Oh, wait a second. How did I know that, Eric? How do I have a guy who's very intelligent, by the way, very articulate, tell me, Ken, I don't have an answer to the question of what would I do tomorrow if I couldn't fail? And you go, I don't have an answer. And I go, I don't believe that. That was bold, wasn't it, of me? I was kind of shocked you a little bit, didn't it?
Throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, but then I gave you the reason why I know that's not true. Because you do have ideas, but you've canceled them out and said they're not realistic. So I want those ideas. Tell me now. Go.
I keep mentioning the political thing. I'm a political junkie. I mean, doing something in that, whether it's running for office again or starting, I don't know, working on a campaign again. That's
why,
really the first thing that jumps in.
That's very possible. I know. That's why I pushed you so hard. You already gave me the clue. Politics is definitely one of those ideas, being involved politically, whether that's running for office or working in the legislative side or becoming a campaign operative, which is how I started out, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, dude. I started in politics at 19, took a semester off school, worked on a congressional race, then worked on 8 other campaigns and ended up as a 23-year-old working for the governor of Virginia. I know both sides of the aisle. I know what it's like to work on campaigns, and then I know what it's like to work in the actual, government itself. So, what else besides politics? Any other idea that you've been bouncing around in your head and for some reason you cancel it out?
No, that's pretty much, other than working, in hobbies. That's about the biggest fixation I have.
All right. So is that Nevada state government? Is that, is that working in? Okay. So here's the point. How do you make that transition? So you're in a job right now that you do pretty well in, correct? You work for yourself, kind of, right? As a real estate broker?
Yeah, I do.
And you make 100%. You make good money.
I can't complain.
Yeah, and you got a lot of freedom too.
I do.
Dude, this is beautiful. I can't tell you how excited I am. This is you're perfectly set up. You're financially fine. You have your own schedule. You work for yourself. You need to start connecting with everybody possible. And I know that COVID's got its restrictions on connecting, but you can still connect. You got to start getting connected. What's your party affiliation?
Republican.
Okay. So you need to get super connected if you aren't already, and I'm sure you are because you ran for office. So you got to start connecting with all these politicians that are in office and say, hey, I want to work for you. I've got lots of freedom, because you can keep the real estate broker thing going while you're working for a state senator or a state house member or congressman or whatever, couldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Man, this is so daggum easy. It's not even fair. It's not even fair, is it, Eric? Eric, all in. Go. All in. Now, listen, I know you're new to my show, so I want to reveal something to you. Then I'm going to give you a book to read on this principle. It's called The Proximity Principle. I developed it by doing calls with people like you who know what they want to do, but they know how to get there. And I went back into my journey from no training in broadcasting to becoming a nationally syndicated radio host. And the proximity principle says, Eric, in order to do what Eric wants to do, professional politician or political worker, he's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. He's got to be around people that are doing it in places where it's happening. You're already there. You just need to juice it. The right people plus the right place equals opportunity. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. Hang on the line. I'm going to give you a copy of my book, whatever format you want, audio, ebook, or the written. And you need to read it and follow it. You'll be there before you know it. This is The Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from Ramsey Solutions Studios and Worldwide Headquarters in Nashville. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. What kind of talk show is this? Who's this Ken Coleman guy? Yeah, it's not politics. We're talking purpose in your life and in your work. Yeah, it's possible. Life's too short to have a dead-end job and just try to make it to the weekend, especially when you know deep down that there's meaningful work for you. Some of you know that, but you don't know what it is. Some of you know what it is, but don't know how to get there. Some of you know what it is, know how to get there, and you're still scared. That's okay. You're dealing with doubt. That's okay. That imposter syndrome, I get it, been there. You're one phone call away from clarity, which will give you confidence, and then give you courage when you need it. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Kelly in Los Angeles, California. Kelly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call. An honor to speak with you.
Well, the honor's all mine. What's going on, Kelly?
Thank you. I'm here with my husband, Craig, and we're calling today for our son, just to give you a little bit of background. He has autism. He's high functioning. He's 26 years old. He just graduated from a university and received a degree in dance. With the COVID pandemic, obviously the dance jobs went away. You know, he was hoping to land a dream job at Disneyland or on a cruise ship. And now we're just in the process of trying to get him out in the workforce a little bit. He's applied for jobs, and we're wondering if it's a good idea for him to talk about his autism, to tell the employers, whether in an interview and or on resume, just to share more about himself and the strengths that he has, just like anybody else would.
Yes. Yes, yes, except don't do it on the resume, because unfortunately, this is just the human condition. Doesn't make somebody a jerk, but a lot of scared people would read that on a resume and not even give him a shot. So no on the resume, and then as he gets into the interview process, he absolutely does it. I've gotten this call before, and so I'll tell you what I told these other folks. I've had calls where it was a mom and the son had received a serious head injury and some brain damage, but again, very, very functioning, like high functioning, except there would just be slow speaking. That was the big challenge. And imagine, you know, in a job interview, if you're interviewing somebody and they got all these great qualifications, they get in the interview and they speak really slow, and sometimes they kind of get caught up on something. And I said, take the elephant out of the room. I mean, as soon as the interview starts. And in that case, I told her, I said, he needs to go in and say, hey, 4 years ago, I was in a serious car accident, received some severe brain trauma, but I recovered. I went from being in a, you know, a near coma-like state to now where I'm at now, and I'm doing great. But there's one side effect. Unfortunately, when you bang your head as hard as I did, my brain's working great, just sometimes it's really slow. Now, imagine saying that at the start of the interview. What does that do to the interviewer when they find out that information? They don't get scared of it. If they do, they're the wrong person. But it's going to take the elephant out of the room. It just goes, hey, I'm totally fine. There's just one little side effect, but it has nothing to do with my work. It just means when I talk, you got to be patient. But we all need more patience. That's going to make you better. Ha, 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 ha. Something like that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm role-playing a little bit, but I just did some coaching for a family with their 39-year-old autistic son who was very high-functioning. He was just scared to death. He was scared to death to put himself out there because he'd had a few awkward moments. And, you know, I think that in this situation, if your son is high functioning, and we're talking day job anyway, because cruises are going to come back, Disney's going to open back up, theme parks are going to open back up, and he's going to get that dance job. So we're just trying to kind of get him going and keep him busy and get his confidence and his juice flowing. So depending on what day jobs you guys have him apply for, he needs to be applying for something that he's got the actual talent and skill for, and any kind of autistic challenges that he may or may not have, we talk about him so openly and we make it clear that it does not affect his ability to do the job.
Right.
So yes, I bring it up and bring it up right away and have fun with it. Have him take, when he's not acting weird about it and he acknowledges that it's a non-factor, Oh, I just think it takes all the tension out of the room. For a healthy, normal person. Now, I'm not going to sit here and paint this rosy picture for you guys that he wouldn't have somebody that would judge him and just go, nah, I'm not interested. But now that leads me to my next piece of advice. If you guys work the proximity principle, it says in order to do what you want to do, you got to be around people that are doing it in places where it's happening, even on a day job thing. And you guys work your relationships, not just your close connections, but your acquaintances and their acquaintances. And we really work hard like mom and dad can. And we work relationships because that's how the resume actually takes off. A resume is worthless without relationships. So if before he ever gets in the interview room, through relationships, they know how sharp he is and what he's overcome and what he's bringing to the table, then the interview is just academic. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. I guess my question, this is Craig.
Yeah, hey, Craig.
My question was this. My thought was that he tells them he has autism and he tells them why what he has value for them.
Yes.
You know, I will be on time. I will work hard. I think the biggest challenge he's got right now is this particular interview is on a new virtual site called HireVue.
Yeah.
Where you don't even get to be in a room with somebody. You have to record it all. So I don't know if that's a help or if you have any advice.
Oh, that's interesting. Do they submit the questions when he sits down and records it? Are they on a screen and he answers them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on a screen. They ask every applicant the same question, and there could be games that he has to play. It's different than, you know, sitting in a room with somebody.
Yeah, so if you were to sit there with him and read the question to him, that would be a problem because you don't want to be on the screen and you don't want to hear your voice if you were kind of somewhere else off the camera, right?
Right.
Because you're saying he does better with an actual physical interaction.
I think he would. I think that his biggest challenge, quite frankly, his biggest challenge is maybe not hearing the question in total, right? I mean, there's people that I hire that are college graduates that don't have the skill, right? So it's
right.
Not.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
It's not unique to someone who has autism. Right?
But if he's reading the question, is that a help?
I think it would help. I think it's better for him to read the question and just slow down. And hopefully this has the ability for him to maybe even pause it and maybe even think about.
Yeah, I would try that. I would try that. And, you know, there's an old interview trick when you interview guests on TV and radio, which I've done a lot of, and especially when you're doing it for video, that you always tell people, hey, repeat some of the question in your answer. So I don't think it would be weird for him to go, hey, everybody, so great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. All right, let's do this. And he's just real, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, first question. What are your number one strengths what are your top strengths you bring? He reads it out loud.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, and he just dives in. I mean, I don't think that's going to look weird on the camera. If I was doing a video interview, I'd probably do that. I'd probably sit down and go, hey, everybody, so glad that you're giving me this opportunity. I'm Ken, and this is weird, but wish I could talk to you, but we're going to do this. So your first question is, you know what I mean? Have some fun with it. Put some personality into it. And I did that on purpose because you both started chuckling when I role played that. But that's going to make him stand out where most people are going to be like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just start talking, right? They're reading it and then they're nervous. And they go, and I think in reading the question out loud, it actually allows his brain to kind of just soak on that for a second. And then dive into the answer. And here's the other thing. Pauses are powerful. Tell your son that. Say, it's not awkward when you pause. Now, it is if it's 7 seconds. But if it's 2 to 3 seconds of pausing, and he looks like he's furrowed his brow, come on, teach this kid some acting. He can do it. This is great. And listen, mom and dad, listen, you work hard to get him a connection and then get him into dancing as soon as it opens up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from Nashville, where we come to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios, 844-747-2577. The only nationally syndicated radio talk show that's helping you get on purpose in your life and in your work. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Matt joins us. Matt, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question for you regarding a promotion opportunity that I'm looking at within my company. My company has this year started including diversity inclusion into their corporate mission statement, along with adding it to our business goals and objectives. And I'm considering writing a diversity statement to be a little more competitive for this position. It's mainly male dominated at that level. And I'm just wondering if this is something that I need to do to make myself a little more competitive, being that I'm not a minority and I'm not in a minority group.
Yeah. So is this something that normally happens? Are they asking for outside candidates to write diversity statements as a part of the application process?
So it's an internal position for internal applicants only. It's okay. They don't seek external applicants
ever. I know what you're. Hold on. Let me clarify for you. I know that what you're applying for is an internal position. I'm saying, as a practice, does your company request diversity statements for people that are applying for other jobs that are coming in from outside?
I don't know that.
I'd find out. Is there somebody at HR you could ask?
I could, yes.
I'd find out. I think that's important. Because there's clearly this has become an initiative where the company has said, hey, you laid it out. So there's a focus on diversity from your company. So I don't think it hurts to do it, but I certainly would ask. I guess to me, when I hear that, I go, I don't think it hurts, but I think it could be, what are you going to say?
That was kind of the main part of my question is if I include it, what needs to go into it? Because I've never had to deal with this before.
Well, number one, I have never done one, nor have I had to deal with it. But that's why I want to note, I mean, I've heard of these things, the diversity statements. I really want to know if the company requires them. And I would talk to somebody in HR who could give you some perspective on that, your company HR.
I think even if I did ask and they said, well, maybe it's not required, but I'm thinking, I'm trying to be a little more forthcoming, kind of like where there's when you submit a packet for promotion that maybe they're asking just for a resume, right? But it's also inclusive to put in a cover letter and letters
of recommendation. I don't think it hurts. Right. But you better know what you're doing or it's going to come across as really thin. And so therein lies the issue. So what do you put in one of those statements? Are you going to start extolling the fact that you're friends with a bunch of different races, that you're supportive of these groups? I mean, you start off with, you know, the company has made it very clear that we are going to do more as it relates to diversity and diversity inclusion across the board, and I couldn't be in more support of that. Okay, great. There's an opening statement. Okay, what else are you going to write? I mean, do you have something where you can say, hey, I mean, my guess is you would want to say, I'm all for this initiative. Here's why I'm for it. Here's how in my own life I'm trying to become more diverse in my relationships. I think that's kind of what you got to do there. Am I right?
Right. I was also kind of thinking along the lines of my personal struggles and the way that I'm diverse and how I grew up and became the person that I am today.
Great.
Okay.
But I mean, let's be clear. Are you a white guy?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, you got to think through this stuff. You don't want it to sound hollow. It's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. And if you've got something there where it shows that you are a person who embraces diversity, you've grown up in diversity, you are intentional about it in your life, that's great. I would absolutely add that.
Okay.
Yes, sir. But what I'm saying, and I can say this as a Caucasian male, okay, you know, it's good for all of us to be aware of other races. It's good for all of us to understand people that live in different conditions and live with different realities than all of us. I mean, I couldn't be more about that. Stacy and I adopted two boys. I've got African American boys, but that doesn't mean I understand their experience. I don't.
Right.
I'm sensitive to it. I love them. Okay. Like they're my DNA, even though they're not. But I'm still. Yeah. I'm going overboard here to say, if you've got something really to share there that is of a convicting nature, that you're serious about this and you want to show that if I step into this position, I'm going to be a champion for this, then yes, share it. If it's not, if it's just you trying to share that you're a really sensitive white guy, then I wouldn't do it. That's my point. And I could say that. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm coming
from. Right.
It's got to be legit. And if it's not, and then it just looks like you're playing the PC game. And that's my only concern for you. I just want to call that out. And I don't think that's you, by the way. I think you've got something.
Yeah.
So, yes, the answer is yes. You should put that
in. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
perfect.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man, and rooting for you. Absolutely. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Yes. Hello, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
Yes, I wanted to know, how soon should I let my manager know that I'm looking for other opportunities?
Don't let your manager know that you're looking for other work until you've secured the other position.
Okay, and if I really don't want to leave my current place of employment, but I kind of want to shop an offer from another employer back to them.
Oh, I see. Kev out there playing the market. Hey, listen, I like it here, but these people, they kind of like me too, and they floated an offer. What you got for me? I see what you're doing,
right.
Which, by the way, I got no problem with that. But you certainly don't let them know until you get an offer.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do it where I just want to do it in the spirit of harmony? Maybe I behave more conflict averse than, average, but typically that's what I see happens when I have another offer or a coworker has one. That's when people get promoted. So
yeah,
I just
want to
know how to.
Here's how you do it.
That.
Don't steal from your employer. And I'm not suggesting that you are, but let me describe what I mean by steal. I'm okay with you not telling your leader that you're looking for another job if you handle it the right way. And that is, you are applying, you are interviewing for jobs, and you're taking personal time, or you take your lunch hour. If the company gives you a lunch hour and you got an interview at 9 a.m, then that you don't take a lunch hour that day. That is your lunch hour. You do not steal from your current employer, or you take personal time. If you got to take vacation time, because to me, That's it. And then when you go in there, don't be a jerk, which you won't be. I can tell you're a really humble, nice dude. Go in there and go, hey, listen, I got another opportunity, got an offer. I really like it here. But this is my offer, and I just wanted to share it with you because I'd like to stay here. Are you guys, but it's a really great offer. I got to consider it, but I'd like to stay here and just see what they say. They're not idiots. They're going to respond. And that's how you do that. But I can't say this enough. Some people, Joe, they think I'm going to go, yeah, you got to tell them, you got to be honest. You're not being dishonest. If you are applying for another job somewhere else and you're interviewing, you're not being dishonest. You're being smart. Some people may let you go and fire you. You keep doing a good job. You keep being an honorable person and doing the job you're being paid for, and don't go interview on their time. Do it on your time. Other than that, then you let them know. There's no shame in your game. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
The Ramsey Call of the Day is a quick daily dose of advice on life and money, featuring callers from the Dave Ramsey Show. Hear from me, Dave Ramsey, as well as the other Ramsey personalities. We're here to give you hope and guidance in the areas of money, career, relationships, and more in under 10 minutes.
Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or download our Ramsey Network app.